Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, February 21st, 2020. The time is about 9:02 a.m. We are meeting in the Senate Finance Room in the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. This is Co-Chair Natasha von Imhoff, and I'm joined today by Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Willikowski, Senator Wilson, and we also have Senator Kathy Geisel with us as well. We have a quorum to do business. Our only item on today's agenda is Senate Bill 115, an act relating to the motor fuel tax and providing for an effective date. We heard this bill on Monday, February 3rd, took public testimony and reviewed the fiscal notes. There is a CS for the committee's consideration. I would like to invite the sponsor and his staff to present the changes in the CS, and then we will have a motion. So, Mr. Peterson, please come to the table and identify yourself for the record to begin. And we had Senator Stedman join us as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Bishop. I'm not going to go through the entire presentation that I delivered to the committee last time. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about the changes in the committee substitute, which is version K before you. So on slide five, this slide explains the main change in the committee substitute, which is to include an additional registration fee for electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid vehicles. An electric vehicle is defined in the committee substitute as a vehicle that is powered solely by an electric motor, drawing current from rechargeable batteries, fuel cells, or other portable sources of electrical current, and manufactured primarily for use on public streets, roads, and highways. These are the electric vehicles like, I don't want to promote any one particular manufacturer, but vehicles that are solely powered by electricity, as opposed to a hybrid vehicle, which I'll get to later. The committee substitute proposes a biannual registration fee increase of $100. Currently, all vehicles pay a registration fee of, all passenger vehicles pay a registration fee of $100. So this would increase it to $200 for electric vehicles. The revenue will be collected by the Division of Motor Vehicles, along with the other regular registration fees. However, this additional registration fee will be deposited into the Highway Maintenance Fund, so it's clear our intent is that this additional money is used to maintain roads, and this would be the portion that would be contributed by the owners of electric vehicles, since they don't purchase gas and pay the gas tax. There are approximately 600 electric vehicles in Alaska. I must apologize for my testimony at the last hearing when I threw out a number of 28,000 electric vehicles and hybrids in the state. That number came from the Division of Motor Vehicles last year, and after my testimony, I received a lot of phone calls from utility companies that have themselves hired outside consultants to determine how many electric vehicles are in Alaska. That number from DMV was hugely exaggerated. The way they code the manufacturers and the makes of vehicles in their database is four letters. And in order to identify whether or not it's an electric vehicle, you need to have more letters in their code because the word EV comes after the code. So basically what I got from DMV last year were all the manufacturer makes and models of vehicles that are electric and internal combustion engine. For example, Ford Focus, they make a hybrid vehicle, but they also, the majority of Ford Focuses on the road are internal combustion engines. So that was the reason for the discrepancy. These are more accurate numbers. I got these numbers from Chugach Electric, who hired an outside consultant, and they determined that there are approximately 600 plus. In the fiscal note that you'll see that came in from the Department of Administration this morning, from the Division of Motor Vehicles, they estimate 675 electric vehicles in Alaska, so that's an accurate number. Plug-in hybrid vehicles is a vehicle that is capable of using gasoline, diesel fuel, or alternative fuel, and is powered in part by electrical energy using a battery storage system capable of being recharged from an external source of electricity and manufactured primarily for use on public streets, roads, and highways. The reason why we use the term plug-in hybrid vehicle versus just hybrid vehicle is that there are a lot of hybrid vehicles in Alaska, like the Toyota Prius, that does have the capability of running on electricity, but it's only at very low mileage. And so these aren't true hybrid vehicles where they're running half the time on electricity, half the time on gas. So we didn't want to include those vehicles. We just want to include those hybrid vehicles where you can run either on electricity or gas. You plug it in at night to recharge it. And those are the vehicles that we're trying to include in the additional $50 registration fee biannually. And again, that money will be collected by the Division of Motor Vehicles and deposited into the highway maintenance account. And there are approximately 300 or so of those plug-in hybrid vehicles in Alaska. So in total, we're looking at around 1,000 vehicles. So the total revenue generated from this additional registration fee should be slightly under $100,000. However, the universe of these electric vehicles is only going to increase in Alaska as the technology gets better. I also want to point out for the committee's information that there was a letter submitted to the committee by the Juneau Electric Vehicle Association that supports the legislation. They feel that this is a fair fee to impose on electric vehicles, since currently they're not contributing to highway maintenance through gas tax. On slide six, we did touch on this slide in the last presentation in comparison to other states. I want to correct, for the record, the second bullet on this slide. In the last presentation, we said that with the change in this tax from 8 cents to 16 cents, Alaska would move from 50th to 48th. That's accurate if we're just looking at the base excise tax. But at the co-chair's request, we put together a bar graph, which is on slide seven. And every member should have a larger copy in front of them that's easier to read. And this shows what all taxes are collected by each state for motor fuel. This includes the base excise tax plus other fees and taxes imposed by the state, as well as local, county, or municipal or borough sales taxes. So if you look at this bar graph, with the change in Senate Bill 115, Alaska would rank 41st in comparison to all the other states with the total taxes collected. On this bar graph, you'll see that other fees and taxes across the bar graph, which are shown in orange, that does not include the 18.4 cents per gallon federal excise tax, which is levied in all 50 states. That's uniform. Alaska's current tax rate, which is shown on the far left, this includes the base, this is the base tax plus the 0.95 cent per gallon refined fuel surcharge. The other taxes in orange for Alaska includes a 1.1% weighted average sales tax for all cities and boroughs. If you look at where Alaska would be with the passage of Senate Bill 115, further down the bar graph, the 41st out of 50, that is where Alaska would rank compared to the other states if this legislation were to pass. Madam Chair, I also wanted to explain that in the committee substitute, Section 1 of the committee substitute is where we define electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid vehicles. That also sets the fee of $100 additional biannual registration fee for electric vehicles and $50 for plug-in hybrids. That also clarifies that the additional funds will be deposited into the special highway account. Section 2 of the bill, I want to explain that briefly, is just conforming language. Currently in state law, there is a special individual traction permit that anyone can apply to the Department of Administration to acquire, and this allows someone to use chains or studs beyond the allowable window of May 1st through September 15th. Current statute says that if you apply for one of these special individual traction permits and it is given to you that you have to pay a fee of one-third the registration cost. So obviously we didn't want to impose an additional penalty on electric vehicle or plug-in hybrid owners by increasing that special permit fee. So Section 2 just excludes the additional registration fee as part of that calculation when you're paying the one-third special individual traction permit fee. That is all the changes in the committee substitute, Madam Chair, and I don't have any other information for the committee unless the committee has any questions. Thank you.
We have a question from Senator Wilson.
Yeah, I have two questions, Madam Co-Chair. That's okay. The first one is, Mr. Peterson, do you know if any other states, are they similar to Alaska where we're looking to do more narrow scope with the funding, or are they just more general use of the general fund for the scope of the motor fuels tax and other fees collected?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I don't know what other states specifically do with the funding, if it's used for highway maintenance. I don't know exactly what the other states do with the funding. I do know that a lot of other states are now charging an additional registration fee for electric vehicles, and obviously we know where the other states fall when it comes to a motor fuel tax. But as far as how they appropriate those funds, I couldn't tell you for certain.
And
Senator Wilson.
I guess we know we're looking at the additional fee for registration for electric vehicles, but how about for vehicles that run off natural gas?
That would be included under alternative fuels.
Okay.
So if they, let's see. Yeah, so currently there's nothing in the legislation that would capture a vehicle that is run on natural gas. Electric vehicle has to be powered solely by an electric motor, and a hybrid vehicle is. So if there's a vehicle that can run on natural gas and electricity, that would be included, but not a vehicle that runs on natural gas completely, no.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Olson, followed by Senator Steadman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I can see the reason motor fuel tax, but I guess I'm wondering, I thought that at least for those people that are more environmentally minded, we're trying to have less use of fossil fuels, and that one of the deterrents to doing that was to develop electric cars. It seemed like this is a penalty for those people that are more concerned about the depletion of the ozone layer if you start to go ahead and put an extra tax on some of these developments that have gone on to try and save the environment. What do we say to those people when they call?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we did take that into consideration, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't penalize electric vehicle owners. They do cause wear and tear on the road. Electric vehicles, I've learned, are actually heavier than internal combustion engines because of all of the batteries. They weigh a lot. And so when we were looking at this additional registration fee, if you're an internal combustion engine driver and this bill passes, you'd pay anywhere from $100 to $114 a year in gas taxes. So the additional registration fee for an electric vehicle of $100 biannually would be $50 a year. So in essence, it's about half of what a gas taxpayer would contribute. So we thought that that was fair, considering that it is helpful for the environment, and we don't want to discourage the use of electric vehicles. However, since there still is wear and tear on the road, we thought it only fair that those vehicles pay a little bit into the treasury to assist in highway maintenance. And if you'll look at the letter that came in from the Juneau Electric Vehicle Association, the majority of the members agreed that they should contribute something.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Steadman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I got a couple of concerns I think we need to get on the table just for clarity for future committee meetings over the next couple of years. And when we take a look at this, I'd like to have, in dollars, have it restated on the marine fuel side, what the total marginal differences projected to be for marine fuel consumption. And same with automobiles, because the overall concern is we impose this tax and the future submitted budgets to this table 4 or 5 years out, 3 or 4 years out, get reduced, and all we do is end up supplanting other funds, and it's not a net increase to DOT. One direction of the increase would be general maintenance of potholes around the state, and on the marine side, from the marine tax, funding for marine construction of harbors, which is what we've been working on for years. So I just want to make sure we don't end up having a head fake here at the table thinking we're actually going to increase funds for pothole patrol, and when in fact in the future we get basically no net change than we would have normally got. So if we do this, I want to focus a little bit of the conversation on how do we ensure a net increase in DOT maintenance, which I think we'd all agree is badly needed.
Is that a question or is that more of just a comment?
No, it's a question. The question is the dollars to be generated, and how do we ensure that DOT doesn't give us a haircut in a couple of years so we have no net increase that we'd normally get, and all we're doing is increasing a tax on motor fuels, but we're not increasing the overall maintenance dollars going into our pothole patrol.
Senator Bishop?
With the chair's permission, why don't we ask DOT?
Do we have DOT on the line?
They're right, sitting right in the audience.
DOT, please step forward. I also, just to, before you state your name, to Senator Bishop's or Senator Stedman's comment, you know, I don't think that we can guarantee any future legislation to do anything, really. We can provide intent at this committee, but I don't feel comfortable saying, well, if we make these decisions today, then by golly, 3 years from now, we better have that money there. I mean, if it's going to go to the general fund, that's where it goes. So, but with that in mind, let us know how far we can push it to put it towards potholes.
Through the chair, Senator Imhoff, my name is Mary Sorokin. I'm the deputy commissioner, the outgoing deputy commissioner for the Department of Transportation Public Facilities.
For the record, Rob Carpenter, incoming deputy commissioner for the department.
Senator Stedman, DOT will take any dollars you give us. We recognize that over time we have done a variety of things to make our work more efficient, but I think people are realizing that when you have a bad winter like we're having this year, that it's just we're not able to keep up. And so we will take every dollar you give us, and we will spend it as effectively and as efficiently as we possibly can.
That's not really the question. The question is, a year ago, it was going to be a net neutral. There was a proposal to increase the marine or the fuel tax, and we were told that we weren't going to see an increase in DOT's budgets. We're just going to increase this tax. So if we increase the tax, what steps is DOT going to take in their budget submissions to the governor and then on to the legislature to ensure that this is a net increase to the badly needed maintenance of our roads and highways, both water and asphalt?
So through the chair, Senator Stedman, we would take direction from what happens with the fiscal note associated for this bill the year that it is passed. And if there is no reduction in our GF and there's an increase in the motor fuel receipts that were received, we would, of course, start our conversations as we're producing the FY22 budget with that those numbers in hand. I mean, that's the best we can do. It would be, I mean, if you guys can give us the motor fuel tax, you don't cut our GF, and that's how we start 21 with, that gives us a great place for having our conversations as we put the governor's proposed budget together for 22.
Senator Edmund, do you have a follow-up? Or Senator Bishop, did you have a comment to that? Senator Bishop?
I'll yield, and I'd like...
Well, we actually have Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess to further explain, I guess, you know, some of the hesitation I hear from my other colleagues on here at the table is that how can we guarantee that, similar to Senator Stedman's question, that we'll have potholes repaired, that maintenance will continue, that you may reopen a maintenance station or add extended hours for folks to maintain roads. You said this year is a heavy snow year. How can we guarantee the future years that these projects are going to go forth, or what projects would go forth? What's the utilization of DOT? How will they utilize the funds in the best interest of the state off the users that are paying these fees? You know, my district, we have probably the most commuters in the state and probably the most road miles in the state that are being driven and used. How are those dollars going to be used for that district versus going to other districts? I mean, I guess that's sort of the general gist of motor fuels taxes. It is more of a user-based fee, if you will, but how will DOT utilize this these fees to enhance their current operations, is guess, and how that will not supplement GF here in the future. How will we guarantee that this is a new minimum baseline and not just a supplement of funding, is the greatest concern that I hear from my constituents and my other colleagues.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, you're the appropriators, so we can't guarantee a dollar amount to you. You have to appropriate it to us. We can guarantee that we will use it as efficiently as possible, that we will, I mean, if we get an increase, so how we would work this is, if we get additional motor fuel taxes commensurate with the unrealizable motor fuel taxes that currently exist in our budget, we would go back and we would reinstitute those things that we cut last year. If we get more money than that through this bill, then we'll go back and we'll open maintenance stations that we closed. We'll purchase some additional equipment. We'll move more maintenance people around. We'd go stepwise that way. We try to balance our maintenance budgets among the three regions, recognizing that they each have vastly different needs. South Coast has less road miles. Our central region has the huge urban areas and the huge commuters. Our northern region's responsible for the Dalton Highway. We're gonna try and best and manage any additional resources you give us to take care of all of those, and they all have very dramatic needs.
Senator Wilson.
Just a brief follow-up. You know, I thought last year we funded DOT to its capacity, but yet there was additional decisions that were made to try to continue to reduce funds, as shutting off the lights on the Glen Highway and then reducing maintenance stations in Kenai. So I thought we fully funded them for the current operations, which were in that plan. So another later decision was made by the administration to go ahead and reduce funding in those areas. So I just want to make sure that that was my general question. It's more of just a statement. I just want to make sure that we can, as Senator Stedman said, that this is a new baseline and not a supplement of funds.
I think just to dovetail, this committee saw a presentation on Monday from the Department of Administration showing labor costs among the different negotiated contracts. And there are embedded costs in every department, including the DOT, with a very large employee count. And so this is not huge dollar amounts that we're bringing in, but with labor costs going up each year with healthcare, with COLAs, with steps, and so forth. There is a risk, I think what Senator Wilson may be alluding to, is there's a risk that this money could be absorbed by labor, just in general costs, without really more potholes being filled or roads being plowed and so forth. So I think there is a concern that we saw on Monday that I think this it's very real. So please feel free to respond, and then we're going to go to Senator Hoffman.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, and thank you, Senator Imhoff. Yeah, we do annually have those costs that increase our budget, and we don't get that commensurate increase in our appropriations from you. Last year, and I can't remember in what committee, we talked to finance committees about the fact that the motor fuel tax receipts that were appropriated to us were unrealizable to the tune of about $1.2 million. And we had asked, and I can't remember in which finance committees, but we had asked for the GF, and that was not a decision was made to not go that way. So when we got our budget, we had $1.2 million of authority that had no dollars behind them. So we were put in the position of having to reduce our maintenance and operation activities to live within the actual dollars that we would get, not just the appropriated limits that we were gotten. And that's where we ended up trying to do a variety of things. And we have reduced lighting in a variety of other parts of the state where it has been, frankly, not a very big issue. They're turned off at 1 or 2 in the morning. They're turned on at 4 in the morning, and very few people are impacted. But that is how we got in that situation.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Understanding the budget process, when the Department of Transportation Public Facilities was developing their budget for 2021, what was the number one priority that was not funded in the submittal to the legislature by the governor?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we have conversations with the governor's office that range from lots more funding to the funding that we end up with. When we talk to them, we're cognizant of the fact that they have budget limitations that they're trying to match up with revenue that comes in. But we always talk to them about our general needs, and they really fall into the categories of maintenance and operations of both ferries and highways. We're always clear that we have a need, and it's been a need that's existed for, you know, years and years and years, so it's not new to any administration.
So, Madam Chair, so it wasn't for more personnel or for more equipment, or was it for more material to address potholes? You know, I'm trying to figure out. We represent constituencies, as Senator Stedman is pointing out, but your department submits budgets to the governor that may or may not reflect the priorities of this committee, and I'm trying to figure out what the priorities of the department are. If they had additional $10 million, where would the department spend it?
The department, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the department's first priority over anything else is safety. So we would spend it on those activities that would increase the safety of the traveling public. I would suspect that this year we would be using some of that money on increased snow removal activity that has been reduced over time. If we had more money, we would have hopefully not found the Dalton Highway to be in the desperate situation that it was in for a few weeks. I mean, we will, if we get additional money, we are going to put that into the roads and the people, the airports.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Wilikowski has a question.
Does the governor support this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, as all administrations before this one, the governors never make a commitment on a bill until they see the final version that is passed.
Senator Wilikowski.
Does he support this version of the bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we haven't asked.
You don't think it would be important to get an idea of whether or not your boss supports this bill? Do you support the bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we have been providing Senator Bishop's office with as much information as they want that we have.
Senator Stedman.
Madam Chairman, just as a note for the public, the governors, at least the ones I've sat through the next several, some of them support bills, some bills are non-supported by the by whoever sitting in the governor's office. So it's not uncommon for any governor to support particular legislation if they are the prime sponsor or not. They always reserve the right to obviously change their mind when it's sitting on their desk for a signature. So just for clarity to the public, they don't always sit on the sideline.
Okay. Is there any other questions for the Department of Transportation? Senator Wilikowski.
Did you advise the governor that this was a good policy and that these funds would be put to good use if this bill passed?
Senator Wilikowski, our fiscal note is approved by the governor's office, so I think that speaks to the fact that they understand how we would spend the money should it be appropriated to us.
Would you like to make a comment, Senator Bishop?
Just a brief one. It's been a good conversation here this morning. I just want to mention, you know, it's just not only potholes. It's rutted roads. It's a mile or 2 miles of asphalt that's taken up and covered with a high float emulsion until a contract can come along where we can relay that asphalt. So it's bigger than just potholes, but potholes is part of it. A pothole, it starts out as a pothole. Then you get 3 miles of asphalt taken up and you're driving on gravel. That's what we're talking about. And if there's one thing I've learned sitting at this table for 6 years from these senior senators at this table, we are the appropriators. Pure and simple. Thank you.
Any further questions before we look at the CS, adopting the CS? All right. Senator Stedman, can I have a motion to adopt the CS?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we adopt committee substitute version K as our working document.
Is there any objection to adopting the CS? Seeing none, the CS is adopted. Okay, I'd like to quickly review the fiscal notes. My office has confirmed that there will be no change in the Department of Revenue fiscal note due to the CS. However, I would like to we will zero out the $50,000 in fiscal 21 capital costs. As we discussed in the last meeting, there is a $1.7 million UGF increment in the operating budget for the tax revenue management system, and the department verified on record that the capital funds will not be needed if these funds are approved. We have a draft fiscal note from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Since the CS, So we have a fiscal, a draft fiscal note. I'm going to do an Eddie's here. Hold on. Thank you. We are back on the record. There was just some clarification of passing out a new fiscal note from the Department of Revenue and the Department of Motor Vehicles. So I understand that we have the Department of Motor Vehicles, Joanne Olson, Interim Director, Division of the DMV, online. Could you present the fiscal note, please, for the Department of Motor Vehicles?
With the Division of Motor Vehicles. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The Division of Motor Vehicles does not track fuel source on our records. So we had to do some research to find out how many vehicles were actually electric vehicles. We did come up with a number for electric vehicles, 675, but there is, by make and model, looking at the make and model, we came up with potential electric vehicle variants. The make and the model could tell us that it could be a plug-in hybrid, but we couldn't confirm that. So we took what we had for the total and just did an estimate, maybe 10% of that could be the plug-in hybrid, which is why you have the difference between our report and the revenue, Department of Revenue.
Okay, so we have right now a change in revenues at 59.9. I'm assuming that's 1,000?
Yes.
Okay, and it says general fund revenues. Is that correct, or did you want to comment on potential fund change?
Where are you looking at, ma'am? Is this for the fiscal year?
Okay, for general funds, undesignated general funds.
Mm-hmm. And what I submitted there for the electric vehicles would be correct. On the hybrid, the plug-in hybrid, we just estimated.
Okay. Thank you for the DMV fiscal note. The second fiscal note that we have right now is the Department of Revenue, Taxation, and Treasury, OMB component 2476. Do we have some from the Department of Revenue here? Could you please approach the table, state your name for the record, and discuss your fiscal note, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Brandon Spanos, Deputy Director with the Tax Division and the Department of Revenue. And our fiscal note adds $33.8 million, and there is a mistake on the fiscal note. It's not UGF, it is DGF. All of these funds for the four specific fuel types are deposited into special funds within the general fund that are designated and may be appropriated for use either at airports, marine, or on the highways.
That is happening already now. That's where the existing, okay, and it will just
yes,
be
ma'am.
Continuing in that manner. Okay. Are there any questions by the committee on this fiscal note? Thank you very much, Mr. Spanos. Now, we do have other folks here. You saw the DOT. Do we have any questions about this bill? Any further questions or discussions that the committee would like to engage in? Okay. What is the will of the committee? I would like to move this bill. So, Senator Stedman, may I have a motion to move the bill?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we move committee substitute for Senate Bill 115, version K, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there an objection to moving the bill? Seeing no objection, the Senate Finance CS for Senate Bill 115 is moved from the committee with revised fiscal notes. Members, please stay behind to sign the report. So this concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday at 9 a.m. We will be confirming governor's appointees for the University of Alaska Board of Regents and the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board of Trustees, and we'll be looking at SB 47, Physical Occupational Therapy Board and Practice. We are adjourned.